We're talking with Nick Mottern, who is the coordinator of a new campaign, but certainly not a new issue, Ban Killer Drones, which is seeking an international treaty to ban weaponized drones and also to stop military and police use of drone use for surveillance. So Nick, why have you launched a campaign at this point?
Well, first, thanks very much, Mark, you know, for talking with me about this. I'm working right now with Kathy Kelly, who has a long experience of peace activities. Brian Terrell, who's the same. Both of them have gone to federal prison over drone protests. David Swanson from World Beyond Wars, very much a part of this. A woman named Chelsea Ferry up in Northampton, Mass., who was on the Code Pink delegation in 2012 to Pakistan to protest U.S. drone attacks in the federal lands there. And we've all come to the conclusion that after 20 years of drone warfare, not only on the part of the U.S., but Israel. Turkey has been involved to a certain degree, other, you know, smaller countries. It's really time to just determine and to say and to rule that these weapons are too dangerous. The damage is too indiscriminate. They have to be put back in the box in the same way that there have been treaties to ban the use of landmines, cluster bombs, poison gas, and that the way things are developing with drones, in other words, drones have been used largely as a weapon to enforce colonial relationships. Wealthy countries, particularly the United States, overwhelmingly has used drones in parts of the world where it wants to have control of oil, minerals, other resources. The notion of fighting terrorism has been used to justify that, but that's how they've been used. And we're at a point where these relatively primitive drones are evolving into combat heavy drone air, you know, weaponized bombers, fighters, whatever, drones that will be used between the imperial powers of the world, the U.S., the Chinese, perhaps the Russians, to carry us into a whole other level of killing by machine, and then the machines will kill people, obviously.
So this, let me jump in here.
Yeah.
You mentioned previously that this has been a 20-year growth period for the use of drones. That means it's been both a Democrat, Republican, and bipartisan effort. And in fact, it's well known that President Obama dramatically expanded the use of drones when he took him, I believe, particularly in Pakistan. Where is President Biden on the use and expansion of drones?
Well, as far as we can tell, he's on the same track Obama was on. At the same time, he says that he is going to remove U.S. ground troops from Afghanistan by September 11th. He also says that, or his people have told reporters that, don't worry, we're going to use drones and other aircraft to oversee, overwatch, and if necessary, attack in Afghanistan, even though we don't have boots on the ground. And so these articles, New York Times and other places, Washington Post, have said that we're looking for bases in Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, possibly even flying from Gulf, you know, states, so that we can continue to maintain that kind of violent pressure in Afghanistan. along with some special forces, commandos, whatever they want to call them, on the ground, who will be essentially assassination corps, much like the Phoenix program, and was the United States CIA ran in Vietnam.
Now, the United States certainly has gotten a lot of, you know, bad publicity because they have routinely misfired with the drones and often have killed civilians. Has there been any success in courts in holding the United States and other countries, you know, criminally responsible for, you know, some of the damage they have done with the use of drones?
No, not really. REPRIEVE is a legal institution to protect human rights, and they have tried to do prosecutions on the behalf of drone victims. I think there have been some small amount of reparations, but there's nothing been done in court or in the United Nations to put a stop to drone attacks. And one thing that we're arguing, and I think it's very important to talk about the harm to civilian populations that's unacceptable. If let's say that in our community here, and I live in a little town, Hastings on Hudson, along the Hudson River, if a drone would come and kill someone in our town who was actually a murderer themselves, now some people might be very pleased about that, but other people would be terrified that something from the sky, but coming from the government, could reach into our town and kill people. If more people were killed, so quote, accidentally, unquote, then people would be afraid to even leave their homes for fear that if they were seen, you know, in a congregation of several people, they might also be targets. This is what's happened in these other countries. So it's not only a violation of law and morality to undertake assassination anywhere you want, anytime you want. That's against international law. It's against the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But it's also against the law to undertake attacks that have indiscriminate harm to civilians, quote unquote. And so no matter whether the drone kills one or two people or more people, it still brings terror and trauma to people in a very unpredictable and widespread way.
Nick, we're beginning to run out of time, so let me finish with a two-part question. You have about 90 seconds to answer. One, you also addressed the expanded use of drones for military and police surveillance. How much is that actually occurring? And then second, on the international effort, you know, how are other countries reacting to the concept of doing this treaty? Get 90 seconds.
Right now, the police forces are picking up on drone technology across the U.S. It's very popular, and it's happening in other countries as well. As far as how other countries are reacting to what we're proposing, we haven't really gotten into it with any public officials from those countries, but we have been in touch with civilians in other countries, Germany, Italy, France, who are very favorable to what we're doing.
Okay. We've been talking to Nick Matern, who is the campaign coordinator of Ban Killer Drones. You have a website that people can check it out?
Yes, www.ban, B-A-N, killer drones, drones.org, Ban Killer Drones.
And should people contact their congressman, Biden? What can they do in 10 seconds?
Yes, they can write to their member of Congress, read their website, write to their member of Congress. We're also writing letters, especially to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar in Minnesota, because I think she's the one most likely to want to go along with banning these weapons.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nick Martin. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.